Stumbling Company 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
Boy, I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I used to get really, really mad when I would hear radio hosts say, like, oh, it's the dog days of summer. It's the hard time of the year. It's the, you guys got to fill content. What are you going to do? I used to get really mad because I would think about our advertisers, like the great Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. And I would think about them, or, you know, my friends at Hiller or Window Nation or Twice Daily, or it's not like they're paying discounted prices in June and July when it's not football season. So why would you not work as hard or think that there's nothing to? And I am so caught up in all the different moves the Predators might make. I mean, I was reading The Athletic and watching. I'm watching TSN in Canada right now because they're talking about moves the Predators might make. And there was one that I heard today and I was like, wait a minute, what? And so let's start with that. Because TSN, they're all in Vegas. Also, by the way, people inside the NHL are probably going to complain about this. But as a fan, I appreciate Cup Final on Monday. Couple of days. Everybody's in Vegas now. The awards are tonight, though nobody's going to watch the awards because, you know, they got the debate. The awards are tonight. The draft is tomorrow. Free agency's right after it. So trades are going to be happening. And it's just like, boom, boom, boom. I love it all. I think it's incredible. But there was one name that caught my attention, and it came from none other than Pierre LeBrun, who was with his insider crew in Vegas, and they're talking about one big name and the Predators.
Pierre, Steven Stamkos is one of those players where it would make sense for him to go wire to wire with one team in his career, but sometimes it just doesn't necessarily work out that way. What is the situation surrounding Steve Stamkos?
Well, status quo is the official update from Steven Stamkos' people in Newport Sports. Within that, I can tell you this. I mean, Tampa is going to have to change their offer, and that still can happen between now and Monday. In the meantime, there are a number of teams that are lining up hoping they can talk to Steven Stamkos and Dom Meehan and his agent come Monday when the market opens. Among those teams, I'm told, is the Nashville Predators, who have serious interest in Steven Stamkos. They need an offensive upgrade for their team, and I believe that Barry Trotz, the GM, will want to be in that mix if Steven Stamkos goes to market. Obviously, Steven Stamkos would like to remain in Tampa if possible.
Okay, Steven Stamkos and the Predators, and it wasn't me who said it. It wasn't some Scarbini. It was Pierre LeBrun who said it, and he's hearing the Predators and Stamkos. Now, let me say this. At first, when I heard the Pierre report and I read about it in The Athletic and he brought up Chandler Stephenson, who by all accounts is apparently a very solid player, but I've never heard of him. And we know the rules. If I've never heard of somebody, they're probably not that good. I feel like I watch just enough hockey to know all the good players and not enough to know every player, which is the perfect spot when it comes to trying to decide who's good or who's bad or whatever. But now we're talking Stamkos. Now, in 2016 or 2015 or 2018, you told me Steven Stamkos and the Predators, I would say, you got to go get Steven Stamkos. There's nothing you can do. This guy, he's the best. But it's not 2018 anymore. Just take a look at the housing market in Nashville. It is not 2018 anymore, folks. So at first, when I heard the Stamkos thing, I thought, does that really make sense? Number one, I just assumed Stamkos was going back to Tampa Bay anyway. I mean, it feels like by reacquiring Ryan McDonagh, which you were a part of, it feels like Tampa Bay is going to make one last run at it. And you can't make that one last run at it without Steven Stamkos, can you? I mean, Stamkos, he's the captain of that team. So I just assumed he was going back to Tampa Bay. And they even said, I believe it was Drager, later on in that TSN discussion with Pierre, that Drager said, look, if they're going to do a deal, if Tampa's going to do a deal with Stamkos, they're going to have to up the offer because the offers they're getting, and he mentioned the Red Wings, the offers they're getting from other teams, the Stamkos camp, they're better than what Tampa Bay's offering. So, at least for now, I still think it's more likely than not that Stamkos goes back to Tampa Bay. But for now, it sounds like he's going to hit the market, and Pierre says you're in. So once I got over the initial shock of, wait a minute, Stamkos isn't going back to Tampa Bay, or that there's a chance that Stamkos doesn't go back to Tampa Bay, once I got over that, I thought, well, is that what the Predators are looking for? The Predators are looking for centers. The Predators are looking for young guys. The Predators are looking for fast guys. The Predators are looking for, again, Martin Natchez is not Steven Stamkos, but he's 25 years old. Like, that's what they're looking for. But then I thought about it. Ian, I was thinking this morning.
Think away.
I was thinking, Stamkos scored 40 goals last year. 40.
It's pretty good.
And he would be a weapon. And the Predators just don't have enough weapons, right? I mean, Forsberg obviously can put the puck in the net. But outside of that, I mean...
Imagine switching Nyquist for Stamkos on the power play one.
Well, so that's the other thing, too, is when I talk about weapons. Andrew Burnett is supposedly the best power play coach in the NHL. And that power play in the playoffs against Vancouver was god-awful. Let's put Steven Stamkos on that power play unit, and I bet you they don't go 2-for-25 or whatever it was. And then Stamkos absolutely checks the Barry Trotz box of serial winning. He is the captain of a 2-time cup winner. I think they've been to 4 cups since he's been there. And then, even though it does feel like Steven Stamkos is an old pawpaw, he is actually younger than me. Not to say that I'm young anymore. I'm getting older by the day. But I'm also not Floyd, right? Like, I'm 34. Now, that's still old by athlete standards, but 33, like, you can still play sports at 33. I would have killed for Stamkos in 2016. I would have killed for Stamkos in 2017. Just like I would have killed for Patrick Kane, who you can have and who's no longer as good. I get it. But Stamkos did score 40 goals last year. And I keep thinking back to Ryan O'Reilly. The Predators signed Ryan O'Reilly to a 4-year contract last year. And when they did, Twitter was like, he's old. 4 years, he's old. They just want him because he won the cup and the Conn Smythe, and that's why. And you can't tell me that Ryan O'Reilly wasn't worth every single penny that they paid him last year. He makes $4.5 million. You cannot tell me that he was not worth every single penny. So I think about adding Stamkos, and I'm like, yes, it's not the same Stamkos. It's not making a trade right now for David Pastrnak or Austin Matthews, which it would have been 6 years ago. But it's sure a lot better than hoping that one of these young guys like Tomasino finally takes his head out of his ass and learns how to play hockey. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Stamkos plays 75 games next year, he's going to score 35 goals, and we know that. And he's going to be an absolute weapon on the power play on what is supposed to be structurally the best power play with the best power play coach in the NHL. Again, here's your power play. If you're the Predators and you end up making the addition, you end up adding the addition of Steven Stamkos. Stamkos, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Josi, and who do you want to throw in as the fifth guy? See, I don't like when they put one defenseman out there, so I'd put a defenseman out there.
You like two defensemen on the power play?
I do. I don't think the Predators control the puck enough to always have one defenseman out there, but just put Nyquist out there right now for argument's sake. Put somebody out there. Nyquist, Evangelista.
Sure.
Somebody's got to get in front of the net, though.
That's an O'Reilly.
Okay, I can do that. That power play, you're going to score. So, I mean, at first, when I heard Pierre say Steven Stamkos, I thought Stamkos isn't leaving Tampa Bay. And then I thought, well, okay, he's not leaving Tampa Bay. I remember when the Predators traded McDonough back to Tampa Bay, there was a report that Steven Stamkos was happy with that trade. So I'm like, he's not going back, or he's definitely going back. But Pierre made it sound, and Darren Drager made it sound like, hey, if Tampa is not willing to up the ante, if they are not willing, and we need to keep an eye on Tampa, because if they are willing to up the ante, they will clear salary cap space one way or another. Did you see they're trying to get rid of Tanner Jeannot? Because they're paying him $2.6 million, and he stinks. Who could have seen that coming? But again, just where we sit right now, there's no guarantee that Stamkos doesn't get to the market. And if Stamkos gets to the market, I am in favor of the Predators going after him because he's a good player, and I am never going to turn down good players. Even if he's not the same Steven Stamkos that I would have killed in order to bring here 6 years ago. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And this is not Julio Jones we're talking about here. This is, he scored 40 goals last year. 615-737-1025. Now, I've always said, and signing Stamkos would not be the, it would not be the big boy forward move that the Predators are going to have to make. But coming up next, Elliot has weighed in on kind of the rumors that we're hearing about Steven Stamkos, so we will do that next. 615-737-1025. Let's talk Window Nation. I absolutely love Window Nation. I had them out to my home, and they showed me all of their great windows, the good, better, best models, the ones that beat the national brands, the energy-efficient ones, and I said, these look like some mighty fine windows. I said, all right, tell me which windows I need to replace. And Window Nation went around my home. They came back to me and they said, Jared, you do not need to replace your windows. I said, really? But you're a salesperson, right? Like, your job is to sell these windows. And they said, absolutely. But our job is to take care of the customer. And that was when I knew that I was working with an honest company and that I could feel comfortable telling you about how great Window Nation is. Everybody's got deals. Everybody's putting, you know, flyers in your mailbox. Everybody's... But the only one I can tell you that I know that I trust is Window Nation. And right now, until June 30th, and we're getting close to June 30th, believe it or not, take advantage of the semi-annual sale. Get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years, plus a bonus 10% savings when you schedule an estimate. Again, 50% off all windows, no interest for 5 years, and 10% savings, 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. Again, that's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com. But just wondering how active perhaps the Predators could become free agents.
Well, I think I've made the calls. I am hoping that we can be, want to say, modestly active, being very specific. And, you know, obviously with moving Ryan McDonough to Tampa, we have a hole on the back end that we would like to fill. And I'm probably looking to, you know, add another piece there. And then I'd like to delve into adding one piece maybe in front. But, you know, depending on what you determine as a lot of money, I think there's a lot of money in free agency. And like a boss that I used to work for, Lou Lamoriello, used to say always too many years and too much money. But that's part of the free agency.
That was Barry Trotz on our program earlier this week saying, hey, we're going to be active in free agency. And when we move Ryan McDonough, we knew we were going to have to fill that hole on the back end. And when we want to fill a hole on the front end, that's what Barry said. Forget about all the other stuff. The thing about a Barry Trotz answer, and I think I would know something about this since we talk to him every week. The thing about a Barry Trotz answer. Connor, you're not going to wake up? I mean, what are we doing? It's okay. Guy just leaves.
Busy.
Doesn't even wave goodbye.
You're on the air.
I know, but I still would have appreciated a wave goodbye. Just saying. I mean, what happened? The kids today. I just tell you. It's just, you know.
No respect for their elders.
Common courtesy. I mean, you know, it's a sitting here talking about Steven Stamkos is my age. Like, that's a young thing, and it's, you know, whatever. Anywho, I was actually thinking about this. Do you think there's a chance Barry Trotz traded McDonough back to Tampa Bay because he knew it would screw up their cap?
Sabotage.
So that they couldn't re-sign Stamkos? Or do you think that the reason why Barry Trotz is telling Pierre that they're interested in Stamkos is because he actually wants somebody else on Tampa Bay, but he knows that Tampa Bay is going to have to clear cap space. So say there's some minor player on Tampa Bay that's like a solid player, but not a great player.
Well, you know who Elliot brought up.
Well, should we just play the Elliot cut?
Sure. Hold on one sec. I'll get that part ready.
Okay. So this was Elliot on the Midday Show. We have to give Ian a second here because apparently that's the, you know, the juicy part of what Elliot said. This was Elliot on the Midday Show today talking about the Stamkos and the Preds rumors.
Well, I think that Tanner Janot is someone who could be moved.
No, no, no.
Kind of been brewing for a little bit of time. I've heard his name out there, and that's a name that you guys know very well, obviously. So I think that he is a player on the market.
Bless
this
you,
is the Stamkos thing. Adam, I tend to think about it the same way you do. If you go back, now, first of all, you're right. I think that Stamkos has been disappointed that, you know, if you take a look at some of their key players, Kucherov, Vasilevsky, Hedman, they've always gotten, there's Braden Point, they've always gotten their situations done ahead of time. Stamkos has always had to wait. Like, if you go back to the last time he signed his 8-year contract, he decided to sign it or like just days before free agency. And they didn't budge. They offered him 8 times 8.5, and they never budged. Like, Steve Yzerman was the GM at the time. He never budged. And finally, Stamkos said, yes, I'll take it. Now, I think that Tampa has offers on the table. I've heard wildly differing reports as to what they are, so I'm not 100% sure. I think at this point in time, obviously, Stamkos is unsatisfied what's out there, but they're definitely it now. And the one thing I believe that's 100% true, Adam, is that teams want to talk to him. I think that you guys want to talk to him. I think that Detroit wants to talk to him. If Vegas can't sign Jonathan Marchessault, I think that he would be the kind of guy that Vegas might want to talk to. But I think the sense everybody has is he really going to get the free agency? Because of what happened last time, and he just said, okay, I'll take what Tampa wanted, everybody needs to kind of be convinced here or to see here that the same thing won't happen again this time.
Okay, so again, I think that the favorite in the clubhouse is that Stamkos remains in Tampa Bay. Thank you for waving goodbye, Connor. So I think that the leader in the clubhouse here is that Stamkos remains in Tampa Bay. That's fine. I'm just saying if Stamkos gets to free agency. So take out 90% of what Elliot just said. And it's like, if he gets out into free agency, I absolutely think it's a viable option. Now, back to the idea of Barry Trotz telling people that we're interested in Steven Stamkos. I think there are two reasons behind this. The first could be the idea that there is somebody that Tampa Bay has that you covet, that you know that if they re-sign Stamkos, they're going to have to move. And Ian brought up Tanner Janot. And it's funny because I actually put in the notes that there are some players on the Athletics trade board, you know, their Hot 25 trade board, that are names that I would actually be interested in signing, knowing that those teams are just looking to get rid of those contracts and saying, you know what, this guy can fit a need. The one that pops out to me is Jacob Trouba. In New York, they want to move him. He's $8 million for the next 2 years as a defenseman. And it's like, okay, well, what would it take? I hear people talk about Tyler Myers or Nikita Zadorov or Brent Pesce, you know, these defensemen that are going to be out on the market. And I am saying to myself, would I rather give Nikita Zadorov $7 million for 5 years or pay Jacob Trouba $8 million for 2 years? I think I'd rather give Jacob Trouba $8 million for 2 years, and when it comes to the Rangers, maybe they'll even retain some salary, but if they're just looking to dump him, then I can take a Cody Glass, who I don't even want anymore, and I can just give him Cody Glass, and then they can waive him and be done with it, but they're getting the Trouba cap hit off the books. That right there, I absolutely, you know, again, I'm committing to it for 2 years. That's it. Whereas, again, Zadorov and Pesce and Brady Shea and those guys, you're looking at 5 or 6 years if you want to bring them in on defense. And I listed Janot as a guy that I wouldn't mind bringing Janot in here in a bottom six role at $2.6 million for 1 year. Now you're going to have to attach another pick back and keep taking Tampa's picks and in order to, you know, when it comes to Janot, boy, who could have seen that one coming? And Janot wanted Tom Wilson money. He was coming up on a deal. The Predators wanted to extend him. He wanted Tom Wilson money. But anywho, again, it sounded like Elliot was kind of raining on the parade a little bit because the teams that Elliot has talked to have said, hey, it came down to the wire with Stamkos last time, and he re-signed in Tampa, so I think it's going to come down to the wire for him to re-sign this time. But the question has to be, what is the offer that Tampa is making him? There's two things here. What's the offer Tampa's making him? Because if Tampa's saying, hey, we can pay you $6 million. Jim Wyatt said to me at the Super Bowl, we were chatting about Derrick Henry returning to the Titans. And Jim Wyatt says, and again, Jim Wyatt's been covering football for, what, 30 years? And he said to me, he goes, I have seen guys. He wasn't talking about, you know, what Derrick would do or wouldn't do, but was just talking about his experience covering the NFL. And he said, I have seen guys that are on a team that get offered less money and they will not return to that team because of, hey, in this locker room, I'm a $10 million guy. And so if you're offering this guy $6 million, it's like, well, that's an embarrassment to me. Now, I'll go to another locker room, and I'll get $6 million over there, but I'm not coming back to this locker room to make $6 million. And so I don't know what the offer is as far as Tampa and Stamkos are concerned, but maybe the offer is just not that good anyways. So the Tampa part of this is different than the last time that he signed. And the second part could be, when Stamkos re-signed last time in Tampa, he was the centerpiece of a really, really good team that was a true cup contender that looked like they could reel off two or three cups. And they did. I don't view Tampa the same way anymore. I think Tampa's got one more crack at it, and that's if they bring Stamkos back next year. And that's why they brought Ryan McDonagh back. But, I mean, they're not on the same level as the Rangers, the Bruins, the Panthers. I do not think they're on the same level. And if Toronto gets their heads out of their asses, I don't think Tampa's on the same level as Toronto. So it's a different spot that Stamkos is in. Now, those are all decisions he has to make. And again, supposedly, he does want to return there. But I just keep thinking about adding Stamkos to this team. And I just keep thinking about 40 goals last year and Andrew Burnett's power play and Barry Trotz and his serial winners. And I'm like, I think there's something to this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to weigh in, that's 615-737-1025 here on our program. Coming up next, I do wonder that, you know, Barry Trotz did talk about something that he wants to do. And so, again, he's told us he's going to be active in free agency. He says he wants to add something up front and something on the back end to replace McDonagh. But there was another thing he said on our show that I am keeping in mind, but I'm not exactly sure what it means. We'll get to that coming up next. And your phones. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. I keep wanting to say, like, here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday or whatever, and it's not Fireball Hot Take Friday.
Felt like Friday to me all day.
I want to say it, but it's not a Fireball Hot Take Friday. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025-106 The Game. Other than Spencer Stastny, are there any guys at Milwaukee that you feel comfortable today saying, I think that guy could open next season or will open next season with the Predators?
Well, I think, you know, it's guys like Svechkov and LaRue, Stastny. I'll tell you a guy that's had a really good run in the playoffs was Willsby and, you know, Delgazzo. They'll all be battling it out for spots on defense. So there's a few guys there that will be in the mix. And then obviously with Askey, we want to just make sure that he's, you know, continues to keep growing. He's a great prospect, but he's still pretty raw. And that's one of the reasons that, bringing Mitch Korn back, with him and Ben Vanderklok and Jason Barron and Pekka Rinne and our goaltending department, I mean, we really feel strongly that Askarov can really take it to the next level.
That was Barry on our show. Forget about Askarov right now, because Saros is going to be the goalie unless Barry's just lied to all of us. And I really don't think he has. So Saros is going to be the goalie, so forget about Askarov. The two names he said there, LaRue and Svechkov. And I keep thinking about all the rumors that we've heard as far as the Predators are concerned. We've heard the Predators linked to Martin Natchez. We've now heard the Predators linked via Pierre LeBrun. We have heard the Predators linked to Chandler Stephenson and Steven Stamkos, which I am in favor of Stamkos. Stephenson, you know, it was funny. I told the story yesterday, and I heard Adam repeat it on the midday show while I was talking to Chase in the office. And Adam was repeating the story. The theory is, if I don't know who you are, then I'm not interested in the Predators adding you to the team. And the example I use is Mikhail Granlund. At the deadline in 2019, the Predators traded Kevin Fiala for Mikhail Granlund. I had no idea who that was. And Ryan Porth was like, no. He's going to be good. Trust me, he's good in Minnesota. I said, okay. Porth says he's good. Porth knows more about the NHL than I do. Porth must be right. And I don't want to relive the Granlund era, but outside of a nice little stretch there in 2021, Granlund kind of sucked. And ever since then, I've decided, if I don't know who you are, I'm not interested. I knew who PK Subban was when the Predators acquired him. I did not know who Kyle Turris was. So I'm not interested. If I don't know who you are, I'm not interested. And as Adam was talking about that, Adam and Willie were talking about the Jared Stillman smell test. And Chase and I were in the office listening to it, but talking amongst ourselves. Chase looked at me. Ian, I kid you not. Chase looked at me and he said, you're going to like Chandler Stephenson. And I said, okay, Porth.
Okay.
Well. I said, okay, Porth. I've heard that one before. I've heard that before. No. I don't want scouting reports on players anymore. I know who's good. I know who's not. I watch enough hockey to know who the good players are, but not enough hockey to know every player. And I think that's just the right amount to be educated on this. It's like Goldilocks, right? You know, the mama bear bed was too soft and the papa bear bed was too hard, but baby bear's bed was just right. And I feel like when it comes to me in the NHL, the amount that I know is just right. It's just enough that I feel more educated than probably 95% of America on this, because I watch all the games, all the Predators games. And yet, my head is so not far up my ass because I'm sitting here telling you that, oh, no, this guy, trust me, this third liner in Anaheim, he's good, Jared. I'm not doing that. But Barry wants to add one guy on free agent and one guy up front in free agency and one guy in the back end in free agency. At least that's what he said. And I'm looking at who's on the team for next year, like who has made the team. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, Novak, Evangelista, Sissons, McCarron, and Cole Smith. And really, I don't care about the fourth line, because the fourth line, I feel like you should be able to go to Milwaukee and get some Scarbini like Matthew Olivier and bring him up whenever you want. And there should always be another Matthew Olivier that's down there at Milwaukee that you can just bring up and play on the fourth line. So I don't worry about the fourth line. So I only worry about the top nine. And for me, as of right now, on the top nine, I've got two open spots. He says he wants one forward on the front end. Say that's Stamkos. Say that's Stephenson. Say that's whomever. The other spot then has to be one of these young guys, right? The other spot has to be LaRue or Svechkov or Kimmel, or they're done as far as I'm concerned with Tomasino. They're done with Cody Glass. They're not interested in giving those guys another shot. Maybe they give Parson another shot. I don't know. But it really feels like, you know, Barry's not committing to saying any of those guys are going to play in the NHL, but is leaving it open so that they could, which makes me think that they're probably only looking for one guy when it comes to free agency and the forward position. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Andrew says, if the Predators sign Steven Stamkos to a one-year deal, do you think there's a decent chance this team makes a deep run in the playoffs next year, or is that not enough to tip the scales? First off, I think the Predators are going to make the playoffs next year because of the goalie. If they are really committed to UC Saros, and that means that UC Saros is on the team next year, then they are going to make the playoffs. Because between Forsberg, Josi, and Saros, that is enough almost every year to at least get you into the playoffs. The NHL and the NBA invite so many teams into the playoffs that if you don't make the playoffs, you stink. The Predators barely missed the playoffs 2 years ago, and that team stunk. So, of course, if they add Stamkos, I feel pretty good about their ability to make the playoffs. And then the question is, you know, do you get that deep run? It's probably a little bit more dependent than just adding one player. That's why I don't really get excited and do the whole rental thing, because I think it's always more than just about one player. Were there any trade deadline rentals on the Florida Panthers this year? Off the top of your head?
I'm sorry?
Were there any trade deadline rentals on the Florida Panthers?
Tarasenko?
Okay.
I think they made that move for for Tarasenko.
But he didn't really do anything, did he? I don't remember him like scoring or making
a difference. Not so much in the cup final, but he had a few big goals during the playoffs, especially on the power play.
Vengen hates my Jacob Trouba idea.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, he just sent me a Jacob Trouba and then with the throwing up emoji.
He must not pass the analytic test.
Here's what I'll say. Again, I know who Jacob Trouba is. Here's what I'll say. And we were talking about this during the break when it came to Stamkos. If you give Stamkos a 3-year deal at $6 million or $7 million a year, if you give Stamkos a 3-year deal, what's the worst that could happen? It's when you give a guy a 7-year deal, like Matt Duchene, that you run into some real problems. Well, if you want to go sign the top defenseman on the market, if you want to sign Brent Pesce, or you want to sign Nikita Zadorov, or you want to sign Tyler Myers, or you want to sign Brady Shea, like those guys are going to want 5, 6, 7 years. Jacob Trouba has 2 years left on the deal. So if you trade something you don't want anymore, like they traded Afanasyev the other day, who they don't want him anymore. If you trade somebody you don't want, Cody Glass, Tomasino, one of those guys, just kind of give them a biscuit, which is basically what you're doing in order to get Jacob Trouba, then you've got a legitimate NHL defenseman. Yes, he's high-priced at $8 million a year, but you're getting him for 2 years. You're not getting him for 7 years where you have to hope that Nikita Zadorov plays the exact same way he played in the playoffs this year, which is not very likely. And I'd rather go the short-term route when it comes to older dudes. I don't know why Vengen hates Trouba so much. I think Trouba's pretty good. And New York's trying to get rid of him.
He's had his time. Until he's a little bit past his prime. He's a bigger guy. He's not overly mobile. And he takes don't want to say dirty, but he has taken some questionable hits, suspended.
Didn't Trouba light somebody up when he was in Winnipeg? He lit somebody on the Predators up, and it was a big deal.
Yeah, maybe.
I know it was Cogliano who roughed up Cali Yarncroke, but I think Trouba.
And he's had a couple of hits like that with the Rangers, too.
That's okay. I mean, again, I'm just looking at it from a, are you better off paying Trouba $8 million, or are you better off going out and signing Brady Shea for 6 years? And are you really in the position where you want to sign free agents for 6 years? I mean, it's bad enough that you can't move yourself off the Forsberg contract because David Poile waited until the very last second to sign him, and so he had to give him everything he wanted. And I'm not saying I want to move off of Forsberg, but I'd like the ability to move off of Forsberg. You know, there's all these rumors that Leon Draisaitl might not be happy in Edmonton, or that Edmonton may not be able to give Leon Draisaitl what they want. And I have no idea what's going to happen. I just assume that Edmonton will do whatever it takes, minus giving ownership of the franchise to McDavid and Draisaitl to keep him. I mean, they fired their general manager today. I guess Game 7 of the Cup Finals not good enough, Ian. Do better.
Got to win it.
Do better, Kenny Holland. They fired their GM today, and their president, who's going to take over, was Connor McDavid's agent. That is how desperate Edmonton is in order to acquiesce to McDavid, and I would assume by proxy Draisaitl. But there's a lot of chatter amongst the Canadian press that Draisaitl might be available. Well, if Philip Forsberg didn't have a no move, then that would be where a Leon Draisaitl discussion would start. Instead, because Forsberg's never going to waive his no move in order to go to Edmonton, you have no shot of acquiring a Leon Draisaitl. So I just don't like, even though I'm fine with the Forsberg contract as is, and I think he'll age okay into it, and I think he plays hard and is made of the right stuff and is the right guy, I don't want to trade Forsberg. I'm just saying I don't want to tie myself down. Tying yourself down to Johansson and Duchesne and those kind of crap bums is what got you into the problems you're in the first place. And I just don't want to do that anymore. And so I'd rather take a defenseman with 2 years of term left as opposed to give somebody 5, 6, or 7 years when, again, none of these guys are Cale Makar. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Boy, I tell you, a lot of people were mad. Yes, a lot of Tennessee fans, the Tennessee Volunteer Persecution Complex. Boy, they were mad last night. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Well, and the Lakers have made a decision on who they are going with for the number 17 pick. Let's find out with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
And with the 17th pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Dalton Knecht from the University of Tennessee.
Connect. First of all, I love his name. I love the name. I watched him during the NCAA tournament. I mean, I like the brother a lot. And I was saying to myself, J.J. Redick, damn well better draft him. I mean, you were a shooter in college, wasn't you? Lakers was one of those teams. They're like front runners. I mean, they're just raining threes all over the place. One night when things are going so well, another night when you needed the damn threes, you couldn't find. It was an APB out for them damn three-point shooters, okay? So you definitely needed to grab somebody like this cat, Connect, out of Tennessee. I liked him a lot watching him during the NCAA tournament. He was making major noise. And the fact that the Lakers got their hands on him, I liked it, and I'm very proud of you, CJ. You understand, for selecting that brother as being potentially big impact, because I think it's sacrilegious for shooters, not to mention shooters, and the impact that they could have.
Stephen A. likes Dalton Knecht to the Lakers at 17 last night. Ian, did you watch the NBA draft?
No.
I did not either. But I did see on Twitter that a lot of people were mad last night because Dalton Knecht lasted until 17 overall. First of all, let me say this. I think that the NBA draft is so overrated. I heard Joe talking today about how, man, I used to sit down around the TV to watch the NBA draft, and I actually used to do the same thing. But because college basketball outside of the tournament is kind of boring and nobody cares about it anymore, I think most of us don't really care that much about the NBA draft. But I was surprised because, on one hand, I have mixed feelings about Dalton Knecht going 17th to the Lakers. On one hand, we were told by all the NBA gurus out there that this draft was quote-unquote horrible. That, maybe in the second round it'll be an okay draft like every other second round. But as far as top talent, this is one of the worst drafts they can remember. Now, the 2013 draft had that same reputation, and that draft produced Giannis Antetokounmpo, 15th overall. So who knows, maybe Dalton connects that guy. But I was shocked, I mean shocked, that in what was supposed to be such a bad NBA draft, that Dalton Knecht, who was probably the best or second best player in college basketball, went with the 17th pick. I agree taking Reed Sheppard in the NBA draft out of Kentucky, who's just a freshman. I agree with taking Reed Sheppard ahead of Dalton Knecht. But Reed Sheppard went third, and Dalton Knecht went 17th. And yet, on the other hand, I don't actually think Dalton Knecht's going to be a good NBA player. Like, I don't think Dalton Knecht is going to get much better than he is right now. And yes, I mean, he is a really, really solid player right now. He's a great college player right now. But the 6'7" kind of point forward winger that does it all, like that kind of thing, which is what Connect is, usually doesn't translate well to the NBA. Remember Adam Morrison at Gonzaga? I thought Adam Morrison was going to be incredible in the NBA.
Remember him crying.
Yeah, when they lost that game to UCLA. I was on spring break my sophomore year of high school. Gus Johnson went crazy. But Adam Morrison, he did nothing in the NBA. Now look, Steph Curry, a lot of people thought wasn't going to be very good in the NBA because he was so small, and Steph's an all-time great. So I could totally be wrong about Dalton Connect. But I just never thought. I know what gets me about the NBA is that oftentimes we see guys that we remember in college. If you don't live the NBA, and none of us in Nashville, Tennessee do, if you don't live the NBA, then what happens is take a guy like Reed Shepard. We all watched him play at Kentucky, and he was pretty good at Kentucky. And we see him go into the NBA draft. He goes third overall, and then we won't think about Reed Shepard again until either his team gets really good or he gets traded to another team. And somehow, some way, we're watching a Western Conference Finals NBA game, and oh yeah, Reed Shepard. And you know that happens with so many guys. You're watching a random NBA playoff game, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember him at Florida. That's going to be Reed Shepard. That's what we do. The one thing that we don't do a very good job of as college basketball fans that don't really care about the NBA is we don't leave open for the possibility that the whole key to this is which guy gets better. Which one of these guys gets a lot better as they develop, as they get older, as they get stronger, as they fill out, as they all those things. I can promise you, Giannis, again, who went 15th in a draft that Anthony Bennett went first, Giannis was not the Giannis Antetokounmpo who was a top three NBA player for a five-year period. He was not that guy going into the 2013 draft. But given the frame that Antetokounmpo has, the athleticism that the Greek Freak has, given all of that, there is some projectability there that, oh, well, he can become this. That's what I see that Dalton Connect doesn't have. And so I thought Dalton Connect was going to go like fourth overall. And I have no idea how good these foreign players are. And some of these guys, I don't even really remember that were playing college or weren't playing college. I can't tell you about Dalton Connect, you know, how he compares to these other guys because I didn't really watch them play much. But at the same time, some of these guys are 19 and have room to grow and they can project out. And I don't think that Connect's going to get much better than he already is. And I think what he is right now is probably a role player in the NBA. And role players go about 17th. Now, I will tell you this. I do not think Zach Edey, who went 9th to Memphis, I do not think he will be a good NBA player. Those large stiffs in the paint, in 1987, that's a good pick. In 2024, that's not a good pick. I mean, how many big-time post players in the last 20 years have gone to the NBA and just become stars that don't have like an outside element to their game? And Edey does not have an outside element to his game. You know, Ewing back in his day was different. And if this were Ewing's day, Edey would go number one. Ewing and Hakeem and Dikembe Mutombo and Karl Malone and those guys. But those guys didn't bring the ball outside. The game now today, they bring the ball outside. Edie's not bringing the... I would not have taken Edey with the 9th pick. He reminds me of Haseem Thabeet. And I just don't think that was a very good pick. I would have taken Connect before I took Edey. So... again, I don't think Dalton Connect can be a good NBA player, but I certainly thought in what was supposed to be a historically awful draft, I certainly thought he'd go higher than 17th in that bad of a draft. Now, I did not know this, but apparently the TV in here is tuned to ESPN. I guess I did not know. The second round, when did they start doing this? When did the first round and the second round break off in the NBA draft? The NBA draft used to always be one night.
This might be the first year.
And so the NBA thinks they're the NFL, so they try to break off the second round into a second night. I don't think that's a very good idea, but at least in this case, the one thing that does make sense is everybody is excited to figure out where Bronny is going to go, and the draft starts in 5 minutes,
yeah,
the second round.
Yeah, it starts at 3 Central. Yeah,
and,
4
and
Eastern.
The bottom part of the screen at ESPN says, will any team take Bronny James before the Lakers with the 55th pick? So basically, ESPN is going, and I guarantee you they get ratings for this. ESPN is wondering, will any team take LeBron's son? Or can we break down and hype up the drama of what will happen with LeBron's son, who sucks? What will happen with LeBron's son, even though he's not good? That league is a complete and total joke. The NBA is a laughingstock because of crap like that. That the big story going into the second round of the draft, the NBA breaks up the draft from one night to two nights because then the whole second day is going to be about Bronny, who's not even good, but that's all anybody cares about. And that's why people like me just don't give a rat's ass about this league anymore. What a clown show of a league. Just a joke. One texter says he finds it funny that UT fans are upset because Memphis did not draft Dalton Connect. Who cares? Like, I mean, in all seriousness, I think I heard Robbie make the joke. No, Robbie sent out the tweet about the Vols are just about how the Vols are just spited on by the Titans for drafting Will Levis and the Grizzlies for drafting Zach Edey. And it's like, guys, that's not how this works. Like, it's not like, oh, no, we need to take the local kid. No, we need to take the good kid. That's who we need to take. 615-737-1025. Ian, you think Bronny gets drafted by the Lakers? What do you think happens with Bronny?
Probably.
I mean, they maybe do everything else. I mean, they made the coach's podcast, buddy, so.
Maybe someone will take him before that, but doubtful.
What a clown show. Clown show the NBA has become. 615-7. Joe is arguing that Karl Malone was not a post player.
Who's arguing that?
Joe.
I mean, he had a pretty nice turnaround and sideline kind of, you know, back. I wouldn't say he was a post-up player like Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right, he wasn't Ewing, but he still, again, the pick and roll. Stockton would come off the pick, and then Malone would roll, and where would Stockton give the ball to Malone?
Usually for a little corner kind of jump shot.
No, he'd roll out, go right to the bucket, lay
not
it
always.
Up and in.
Not always.
No, Malone was not an outside player, Joe. Look, the four position in traditional basketball is a post player, even if it is not, again, Olajuwon.
Malone
or,
and Barkley had similar games, I'd say.
And again, Barkley was not.
He could shoot it.
Like, Scottie Pippen was a point forward. Like, that guy would come out, bring the ball down the floor, stretch it. That's what we're talking about. Dirk. That's what we're talking about. Malone was not Dirk. Barkley was not Dirk. It's a different game now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, we are awaiting with bated breath where Bronny goes in the second round. All right, coming up next, Brandon Ayuk wants out of San Francisco, and he wants out bad. The Titans have a need for a long-term receiver. They have a need. We'll get to that next. Dominic Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.